I'll read a passage from Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Have seen the film Castaway with Tom Hanks. Castaway?
Yeah.
So most of you will know the story. It's not a true story, but it's not really unrealistic because there are a couple of occasions in history that this happened. There was a story of a Japanese soldier who was stuck in an island for a few years, didn't know the war was over. So it's not unrealistic real story. And basically, for some of you who may not know the story, airplane crashed somewhere in the ocean, and one man survived and he got stranded on an island. And everybody thought he was dead. And he was there for 3 or 4 years. And his wife, like everybody else, thought he was dead, so she found somebody else, they married, they had a child, and one day, he found a way to get to the island, and they found him. The big ship, they brought him back home. And it was a very difficult time, and he had to reunite with his wife, who is not his wife, really. And very, very complicated, very messy situation. So, on the day of resurrection, what is the first thing you are going to do? Well, for a lot of people, I would guess, you would run to embrace the one you loved. And then some of the steps in between say, hang on a sec, where do you think you're going? Like in the film. Then you realize, perhaps, that this person, after you passed away, perhaps married somebody else, had children, started a new family life altogether. So what do you do? What would you do? There is a difficult question the Sadducees asked Jesus about, you know, this woman had a husband and he died, and then his brother married and he died, and seven of them died, and so which one is she going to be married to when the kingdom comes? Obviously, you shouldn't really read this passage in terms of, you know, whether there is marriage in heaven or not, because the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection or life after death. So the main response is really to show that there is a resurrection, life after death. So they asked the question for the wrong reason, because they did not believe in resurrection. And I suppose our social experience will completely change in God's kingdom. How we interact with other creatures and how we interact with the Creator. It will be, well, we don't know what it will be. We do not understand, comprehend. We have never tasted it or experienced it before. And there's a man called Erich Fromm, a son of a rabbi, a Jewish socialist, Marxist, philosopher, psychologist. He wrote a book called The Art of Loving. In the 60s, I think. And he describes love in a wonderful way, really. I think it comes really pretty close to what the ideal should be, but he describes love in a way that transcends our family ties and friends' ties. Though it sounds a bit unrealistic for me in this world, perhaps in the next world that will be our social impulse, and we will relate to other creatures and perhaps to the Creator in a completely different way, and we don't really know what it will be like until we get there. Still, the bottom line is, like the castaway and his wife, some people will have to choose how to relate to some people they have been very close to once we get there. Also, some of us will have to choose how to relate to those who hurt us, and who hurt us really deeply. And this is not, you know, these are real scenarios now. You have the story of King David and Uriah. David indirectly killed him and took his wife. He is not aware of that until the day of resurrection. And I'm sure that will eventually come out, because it's a public piece of information. It's not subject to data protection laws as stuff is nowadays. Then you have the story of Saul before he became the Apostle Paul, and the deacon Stephen, and he was stoned by Paul, really, in white gloves. He didn't know that Saul would become Christian, and I'm sure they'll have some things to talk through. So, people who hurt you, and for these people, you know they'll be there, how will they deal with that? Will there be an instant brain wipe or something? And you know, you're just, oh yeah, we're fine, no problem. Can we function like that? And there will be people there, as Jesus claimed, who never expected to be there. You know, Lord, how? And they will probably start by asking questions. Well, what is this place, and what am I doing here? And each one of us, I'm sure, will have some very specific questions to ask once we hopefully get there. Some people may want to choose whom they will be very close with in some way or not, in terms of human, creaturely relationships. But what about our relationship with God, the Creator? Yes, God has chosen all the people who will be there, but some of the people have never had an opportunity to consciously choose God. And how will they relate to God when they see Him face to face? Now, there's this period that is represented by the 1,000 years in the book of Revelation, whatever it means, surely a long enough period. We can also call it the period when, I suppose we could say, we will be living on the leaves of the tree of life that are for the healing of the nations. And obviously, you wouldn't think there will be need for healing after resurrection. Well, sure, bodily healing, maybe not so much. But there is still this idea, even in the last book of Revelation, last chapter of Revelation, there is leaves for the healing of the nations. In other words, yes, we get the benefits of resurrection and eternal life at this time, but it looks like not everything has been resolved just yet. And not all the healing has been complete. Once we pass through this period of healing, during which, in a manner of speaking, we would have eaten the leaves of the tree of life, symbolically speaking, then we can move on from the leaves to the fruit of the tree of life. And the fruit of the tree of life represents our choice to live eternally in a relationship that is dependent on God. The tree of the knowledge of evil is not there anymore, like it was at the beginning of the story in Genesis. So, it suggests that there will be no more sin or evil ever again in terms of our choice. Why would we need to choose this? We have all tasted it and digested it and have lived in it and have been through the pain and anguish of it all. Who will ever want to go back to that again? The pain and the suffering. But the tree of life is still there, suggesting that we do not remain there automatically. I think God makes it clear that He respects freedom, He respects choice, and all of us have to choose in some way in some manner God and perhaps to be there. And some people are perhaps not in a position to make this choice consciously in this life. Think about some babies or small children. What do they know? What do they know? I would like to think that I have chosen to be with God. But what do they know? But 1,000 years seems like a fair bit of a period, long enough period, when everybody can know and see everything clearly. And the fruit of the tree of life demonstrates that even on the new earth and throughout eternity, we still remain dependent on God. We have never been immortal, nor will we ever be immortal. From the beginning to the end, in the scriptures, or let's not say end, say eternity, from the beginning to eternity, life and life eternal is a perpetual gift of God that never ceases. And it is represented in the beginning by the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And it is represented in the end, or the eternity, by the tree of life on the new earth. I'll be very surprised if anyone who gets there refuses the gift of eternity. No matter how angry some of us may be with God, you know, if you read about Jonah, he was not the only one, but it's directly and explicitly stated that he was very angry with God at the end of the book. It sort of ends with it. It doesn't end with, oh, he was angry that he was happy. No, it just says he was angry, that's the end of the story. But that wasn't a problem for God, you know, it's fine. And some of you will know a young family that had a very tragic situation, and the child fell into a pool and almost drowned. He's been brain dead, severely brain damaged for, it's been 7 months now. And it's been a long time. There's nothing that's not been tried in terms of prayer and science, and still maybe one or two things to try, but it's been a long time and it's non-stop, day and night, no peace, no rest. It's a miracle how they're still alive. I see them every week for a couple of hours. No idea how they're still making it through it. Well, you can get sometimes very angry in some situations you don't understand, you don't see, you don't hear. It's just, there's just silence and there's no answers, no seek for the answers that can never be answered in this world. Ask for things that we may never get in this life. I suppose 1,000 years gives us plenty of time to calm down if you're angry. It's a long enough period, isn't it? But the bottom line is, this seems to be a key to the story of the scriptures. We still have a choice. We all have a choice. If for whatever reason we do not want to be with God, we have the option to choose euthanasia, because we are not immortal. Just God is immortal. We are not immortal. We still have to, in some way, whichever way, we have to choose. We live in a dependent relationship with God. If life depends on the fruit of the tree of life, we can choose not to taste it or choose to stop eating it. God will not force feed us. I think Jesus made that very clear in his ministry, in his interaction with people. Those who are thirsty and hungry come to me, if you're not, he doesn't force his way into our lives. So we could have an option to end our story there and then. I really don't think that will happen, but freedom and choice is there. It's the key to how God is and who God is. And Adam and Eve were given the choice in the beginning through the two trees in the garden. Similarly, you and I are given a choice through the two trees, the tree of the cross, where Christ died, That is where we look, that is where we place our trust in Him. And we'll have a choice again, I suppose, through the tree of life on the new earth. It's still there. And some people who have never heard of Adam and Eve, or the tree of life, or of the cross, or of the name of Jesus Christ, will find themselves there, and will still have, God is still the same God, they still have choice. So I suppose in a manner of speaking, we could say that we will be living on the leaves of the tree of life for 1,000 years, through this healing period, the leaves for the healing of the nations. Although the resurrection is instant, as Paul said, King Paul and I will change, there are no quick fixes for our memories. There is no brainwashing or erasing of memories there. No quick fixes. We all have to go through a healing process. But at least there will be no more sin or temptation to pester us there once we are resurrected. So how will we get through this period of the healing after resurrection in God's kingdom? Well, we don't really know what and how it will happen, but that time is there for everybody. And God has set the time as a healing time, 1,000 years, a long period of time. Some issues we are still struggling with here and now. We don't have to wait for eternity to kick in. Already today, according to Christ's example, we can forgive others just as He has forgiven us. And we can be merciful to others just as we expect God to be merciful to us. But some things are too much for us to comprehend and deal with in this life. Some answers we cannot, in all honesty, some questions we cannot, in all honesty, answer. People ask us questions which we don't know. And there will be the time when each one of us will get complete and full answers to all the things that we've been struggling in this life, that we may not have been able to find a solution to or an answer to. So what we can do now, according to the example of Christ, we can deal with the issues that we have right now. And according to His example, be forgiving and merciful to one another. And leave the rest to God to deal with once we get there. And once He is the King of us all once again.